In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah.
I can smell you. I can smell you from down the road. 847. All of a sudden, old man Marley comes up and he like slams.
He's like, why don't you at least use your husband's toothbrush? Oh, wait, you don't have one. This is why you should be like, oh. Like also just like lie to kids. Like when he's like, is this ADA proof? I lie to kids all the time.
I do lie to kids. You're not a kid. You're very old. I don't know why I've given her an old lady voice. I give her a guy, a Connie's voice.
No, she was an old lady.
Old man Marley slams his hand on the counter as Kevin is there. This old man Marley is really scary as fuck. And like Kevin backs away with the toothbrush and she's like, hon, you got to pay for it.
Wrapped hand. That's why he like, his hand is, it's, there was like a bloody spot. Like it's fucking,
there was stigmata on his hand. Yeah.
Like he said, it's perfectly like,
by the way, it would be great.
Old
if like
rag with a fucking old rag wrapped around it. He just slams it down, which I'm like, dude, if you're already bleeding, you have this old fucking nasty rag. Like, he's like, I'm going to slam it down on this public countertop.
It would be great if deleted scenes of this movie were like old man Marley adjacent, where he was like he was self-harming. He was like, oh, no family. Stick the knife in deeper, you know, and he's like cutting up his hands and stuff.
And I'm just like, I just feel so bad for this man. He's doing a generous service. He's salting the block for like this entire fucking neighborhood. Like,
but also adults, certain adults are scary to kids. And I remember that. I remember being scared of my grandpa who had a stroke by the time I got to know him. And like, I said this, I think the other day on the show, or maybe it was to talk to my sister, but we were talking about how I used to like act like I was asleep when I went to Columbus, Ohio, because he'd had a stroke and I'd never known him pre-stroke, but he was really scary to me. And he'd be like, let's go McDonald's. And he would streak with his like stroke voice. And I would like, oh shit. And then
I can't imagine you off somebody offering you McDonald's and you still pretending to be asleep.
Oh no. This is the one. Cause he would drive this big car and he would like drive all over the road and it would scare the shit out of me. And he'd always order like a Coke with no ice. And I was like, oh God, that's scary too. And like, but when you got older, I realized this was his way of trying to communicate to me. And like everybody had said, what a good man.
He's like, don't let them charge you for the ice, kid. Listen, it takes up space. It's them trying to save money. They're not going to, the golden arches aren't going to get me.
Yeah. I wish you could speak that clearly. And why does he sound like you're psychic? You're using the psychic voice. But anyways, Kevin steals the toothbrush and he runs out. And Jimmy's like, we got a shoplifter.
Oh, yeah. The fucking Jimmy, this fucking dork who works there, who looks like fucking Rick Ash. Like, they're like, he's like running with the toothbrush and they're like, Jimmy, wait. And he's like, no, police officer.
By the way, if they updated this, Jimmy would be like, just let him go, Jimmy. We cannot do anything. We like, remember like how you see videos now of them going into purse shops and like the Apple store and they just let him rip the things out of it and they can't do anything about it. Like, he's like, just let him go. Just let him take it. Kevin's like taking all the toothbrushes. And Kevin's like, I'm a criminal now, as he's like going across the skate pond and slides through the cop's legs, which it's
and
fun
like,
to
the
evade
cop is
police.
Like giving a ticket to like this woman who's probably, you know, it's around the holidays. So she's probably, you know, has a DUI because that's what the holidays make you do. Unlike what Ryan thinks of like, it's a wonderful life. It makes you appreciate the holidays and love so much. And it's just like, no, it's just like this commercial, like this commercialistic of like, who out of all of us is the richest? And like, so he's like giving this woman a ticket and they're like, officer, he's stealing a 98 cents toothbrush. It's not even a fucking Sonicare, which I get. They didn't have Sonicares back then.
It's the principle.
It's just like, okay, Jimmy, you fucking dweeb. And so they're like, officer. So the cop takes from like giving this woman a ticket to he books it after this, you know, 8-year-old who's stealing, you know, a dental like hygiene tool.
It would be, you know, thank God he didn't draw his firearm. Like, you stop right. Like, this could have been a shot to the back for this kid.
Well, we're in the whitest part of Chicago you've ever seen. And he's a blonde white kid. He's like, yeah, fine.
So anyways, we cut to the criminals. They're wrapping up the robbery of a different home on the block. And Harry's like, Marv's coming out with all this goodies. And he's like, and Harry's like, what's so funny? He goes, why you did it again, didn't you? You left the water running, didn't you? What's wrong with you? Why do you do that? I told you not to do that. He goes, Harry, it's our calling card. He's like, all the great ones leave their mark. We're the wet bandits. And he's like, you're sick. You know, you're really sick. I'm sick. Yeah, you are.
How do they rob that house it, when you look at it, it's like one of those scenes from like when somebody has like a raging, like, you know, like college party or whatever, everything smashed, but like how he's doing it, which is like he's going around and just like doing like supermarket mistakes off the thing.
He's not taking care of the items,
but no, he's doing it like he's the fucking like murderer in I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's like he has a hook hand, like he's just like everything.
Yeah, he's with like, his crowbar. He's like,
he's just like metal just like everywhere. And I'm just like, you're like, it's just, I don't think you're getting good.
Well, they're not working with the full deck, but so anyways, he's like, they get out of there. It's daylight, you guys. And all like little Kevin McAllister comes running from shoplifting this toothbrush, and the car, the van, the getaway van almost hits Macaulay Culkin. And they're like, oh God. And Kevin's like, sorry. And Harry's like, damn. And Marv's like, Sandy, don't visit the funeral homes, buddy. And Kevin nods, and Harry's like, okay, Merry Christmas. And Harry smiles, and he shows the gold tooth, that the same gold tooth that the cop smiled at with on the night before they left for Paris. And Macaulay Culkin sees it. He's like, oh. And Marv's like, what's the matter? And Harry's like, I don't like the way that kid looked at me. Did you see that? And Marv's like, you ever seen him before? I saw 100 kids this week. And Marv's like, let's see what house he goes into. And Harry follows
kids
Kevin.
Kids are just like the rudest starers. Kids like look at you. Kids are so fucking rude with how they look at you.
Well, they didn't have this deep conversation in this. They were just like following Kevin McAllister. So they're following him in the van, and Kevin realizes he's being followed. So they're like, you know, maybe he went into the church. And Harry's like, I'm not going in there. And Marv's like, me neither. And Harry's like, let's get out of here.
They're like, that's where that old man pedophile goes to look at his granddaughter. I'm not being with that.
Kevin hid in the nativity scene. That's where he came out of for the church, the nativity scene. And I thought it was really cute.
Oh yeah. Where he like hides under like a blanket.
Yeah. It's a really nice nativity scene outside the church. And Kevin goes, when those guys come back, I'll be ready. We cut to the McAllister house. Harry and Marv pull into the front house. Marv rolls down the window, and Marv's like, did they come back? And Harry's like, from Paris? And we cut to the inside of the McAllister house, where Kevin's dancing while moving a bunch of mannequin and cardboard cutouts with the song "Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree." Have a happy. Isn't that the song they're playing?
Yeah, so he's playing that, and it's like,
so at fun.
First I was like, "Is it like House of Wax? Like, why are there so many fucking mannequins in this house?" And then I realized that she's like, the mom was like a design. The mom's like a fashion designer.
Oh, is that what she is? So I didn't pick that up.
Well, it's like when he was running through the house, like at the beginning, and I was like, she has like a model in their bedroom, mm-hmm. like this like sewing machine, but the sewing machine is so fucking old. It looks like a sewing machine, like a sewing machine that like would be on the Titanic or something, of like when somebody's like making dresses, like this dress is going to be fantastic. If I don't die of cholera before I'm done, it's going to look great. And so there's like, goes out into the basement, and he's like scared stuff. There's like more mannequins and like sewing machines down there, which I'm like, they're going to be so fucking disappointed when they break into this house. Cause all this house has is fucking old ass sewing machines, like mannequins and poinsettias. I don't see anything else of value besides like the house's like property value, which you can't steal that. But it's like,
but you know, Kevin, the kid is probably worth good money.
Oh yeah. Well, he's going to fucking take a fortune.
We got this for our client, MJ, Michael Jackson.
I just think about like this little psychopath of like, how long he's been playing with these mannequins. Like he's fucking like Ryan.
By the way, he's having a blast.
Like Ryan Gosling and fucking Lars and the new, like Lars and the Real Girl.
Well, there's a Michael Jordan cutout, which there's a cardboard cutout that was in Buzz's room, I think, which made me think of the story. Do you remember the story about the cardboard cutouts in my car?
Oh yeah. How you lost your virginity in front of Whoopi Goldberg.
It was like a Chevrolet, or like it was like this hat. It was like this. I'm trying to remember the make and model of the car, but it was a thing where you could put the seats down, and that's where I lost my virginity, in the back of that car. But
well, that's a very specific car because it's like a DeLorean. There are only a few cars that their seats go down. Okay. So
I used to work at Harkins Movie Theater, and they would let me take the posters and the stand-ups home. And I had Sister Act 2, and I had Michelle Pfeiffer from Catwoman. And I put Whoopi Goldberg on the passenger's, like the back seat, the passenger side, and Catwoman on the other. And I shit you not, I would go out of my house every time and scare myself, be like, huh, huh, like I thought, I was like, huh, huh. I said, huh. I would like get scared every time thinking somebody was in that Whoopi Goldberg was in the back seat of my car.
I'd be like, huh. I never once thought of like, I should take these out.
No, like, oh, just- no, I was, I, by the way, and this was, I think, in the time when I was obsessed with the Grease 2 soundtrack on cassette.
God.
And, so I'd be like, I thought I was the coolest kid. I was like, blaring Grease 2 with two stand-ups in the back of my car window.
I just like, I like, the thing is, anytime you talk about your childhood, Ryan, like, and then what you told us today, like, I just can't believe those girls didn't have sex till after you left. Like, it's just like, you just sound so cool. Like, you just,
I really, well, I think you also, it was like, I was in theater, and you're encouraged to, like, you know, not be
drive
weird.
Drive around
but,
with cutouts in your.
Well, you're not.
The thing is, Ryan, you're weird even for a theater kid. And something that's from a theater kid, we were like home, like a different subsection of like homeschool kids. We were homeschool kids, but like that were like allowed out. Like,
no, I was still student council. I did all the announcements every day on, for the whole
school. I'm sure did you voluntarily do the announcements? They were probably like, listen, kid, we got it. Like, I just let like Mrs. Smalley just read the pledge. I'm going to do it in a different character voice.
Sir, please back up. I've got this. I'm a professional. Here is the news for April 18th, Horizon High School. We're expecting a sunny day, so make sure you have your suntan. Social studies will be held in the library today. No, I did it every day senior year of high school. And that was when I had my ex-girlfriend, and I remember like she was sick one day. And so I said over the announcements, like I put a word in there for her. Like that's how dorky I was. I was like, I gave you a signal on the announcement today, you know, like I said something in your honor, you know.
I can't imagine what the word was.
It was pussy. Just like little Kevin McAllister said to these stand-ins as he's having a blast dancing around. Harry's like, we'll come back tomorrow. Maybe they'll be gone by then. We better get out of here before somebody sees us, Mom.
I give this kid so much credit because to put these mannequins together, like we have a mannequin at the store that we named Monique, and truly it is so hard to dress that. Like it is anytime I have to dress her, I'm like, oh no. Cause it's so hard to put them back together where it's like, anytime I have to, and it's like, her leg is always falling off. And I'm just like, nobody gets it. When I'm like, let's just have like an Aviva dresser, like in a, like a riding outfit. And they're like, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, what about Paul McCartney's ex-wife, Heather Mills McCartney, when she was on Dancing with the Stars as the first paraplegic? And they're like, no, you still have to dress her. And I'm just like, it takes like an hour to get all the limbs the right way. Like, it's a very hard thing to do. And it's like, they were worried about this little fucking weird psycho genius not being able to pack a suitcase. Like, he's like, they treat him like he's like fucking...
But they don't know. Like, they wouldn't know. They don't know. Like,
he's a sociopath and pretending to be fucking Lenny from A Mice and Men. And instead, he has all these, like, intricate little, like, traps.
That's how I see you're going to go one day. Like, Lenny from A Mice and Men. I see that eventually your caretaker will be like, and you'll be like, pretty rabbits. And you'll be like, yep, the rabbits are pretty, Annabelle. The rabbits are pretty. And then just off screen, you hear a shot, you know, like, just keep staring at the rabbits, Annabelle. The horses are pretty. Yep. The horses are very pretty.
And then
I have seen small soldiers, Annabelle. I have seen small soldiers. Yes, Chevy Chase was in Man of the House, Annabelle. You're right. Chevy Chase.
Were you more of a Man of the House or a Jungle to Jungle person?
I was more of a man, period. No, I was more of a Batman Returns kid. I was watching. You had to have liked Batman Returns. That's a Christmas movie.
Wait, is that the one with
the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Which Michael is the Keaton? One with Poison Ivy? No, that's. Oh no, I know. Oh, my favorite. One is the George Clooney?
God, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? That's so dumb. It's a gay Fantasia. Batman has nipples. Batman, Batman has nipples on his suit. And Joel Schumacher, which, by the way, directed some great films.
That's why I love it so much. It reminds me of you. It just, there's such aggressive nipples in it.
It was a bastardization of what Batman stands for. It was too.
So is that to you like the live action, like Disney? Is that to you like?
Yeah, that's like Batman and Robin is what this live action Disney Beauty and the Beast was to you. It's like just a joke. It's like, oh, give me a Batman's parents were killed, like slaughtered mercilessly.
Like an institution,
and then you're like making them like a joke there, like, and then also just ridiculous. Like none of this is set in the real world at all anymore. That's right. Robert Pattinson's Batman was good. You could actually like, okay, I'm starting to believe this could happen.
It was in a better voice. Christian Bale's voice is just so. The thing is, Christian Bale's voice sounds like a parody voice of like
Rachel!
Of just it's such like it's just such a creepy bad voice. It's just such
Bane. An
insanely bad voice.
Or like, Bane's where like.
Like all of this over Matt Gyllenhaal, this is one of the most unrealistic parts of this movie. I'm sorry. This billionaire is after Maggie Gyllenhaal, not her brother, who's infinitely prettier than she is.
Katie Holmes played that role in the first Batman, and then they switched it to Maggie Gyllenhaal in the second one.
Which I'm just like, oh, why? Like,
well, do you think Chris Nolan was like, Katie Holmes can't act? Do you think that's why she got kicked out of Batman Begins?
I'm just like, I don't know.
The second Batman?
Scientology that powerful that they like got her fired and they're like, you know, what will be a bigger affront to her? We're not replacing her with someone like Megan Fox or something like we're replacing her with Maggie Gyllenhaal. And that to me would just be like, fucking kill me.
Christian. You're an ass. I know what you're saying, but Maggie Gyllenhaal pulled off the role. Like she pulled it off. I thought she was good. She was good. She was good at the acting part of it. I know what you're saying. Like Batman can do better. I know what you're saying. Batman can do better.
The part of it. You know, not the
oh, look, but oh
she's
my
good
God.
At the acting. I like that you're like the acting part, which is
Listen, I don't go by looks. I go by what's inside. And she was a great Rachel in Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. I mean, Batman, the Dark Knight. Okay. Anyways, so we go back to Paris.
It needs to be a little bit darker in those rooms.
Anyway, the whole point is all these kids, the other kids that are like stuck in this room, Buzz is like, you know, they're like, you're not worried that something might happen to Kevin? And he's like, no, for three reasons. A, I'm not that lucky. Two, we have smoke detectors. And D, we live in the most boring street in the United States of America, where nothing ever remotely dangerous will ever happen, period. And then we cut to McAllister House. The pizza boy hits the statue again. Pizza boy picks up the statue. He arrives at the back door where he reads a sign, where he goes to the front door, reads a sign saying back door. Pizza boy arrives at the back door and knocks on the door. And all of a sudden we hear Johnny go, who is it? And we notice it's the voice from the film that Kevin was watching earlier. And the pizza boy's like, it's Little Nero, sir. I have your pizza. Leave it on the doorstep and get out of here. And the pizza boy's like, okay, but what about the money? What money? Well, you have to pay for your pizza, sir. Is that a fact? How much do I owe you? That'll be $11.80, sir. And Kevin sneaks $12 from the bottom of the door. And Johnny goes, keep the change, you filthy animal. And pizza boy goes, cheapskate. And Johnny goes, hey, I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pop your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10. And then gunshots sound. And the pizza boy is permanently scarred for life. He runs frantically off thinking he's been shot at.
Fucking kid.
By the way, the pizza boy doesn't report this and cops surround the house immediately.
It's just, it's crazy.
Like the fact that there's no consequences is just
this
insane.
Movie is like a very,
it's like, pre-9/11, like we said. So it's like
an adorable version of Stand Your Ground. Like it's just, it's like, that should be what this movie is called.
But I'm saying like one bad move, this kid would have been just dead, like where it's not funny anymore, where he's like, I got him. And then all of a sudden he misses one and they just snap his neck and the movie's over. Like that could have been happened at any point in this movie of just like snap this kid's neck, done. You know, like he's like, ha ha, I got him again. And he's all like, ah, nobody can ever catch me. Little Kevin McCack, you know? So he's like, a lovely cheese pizza just for me. Back to the airport in Paris. Kate's trying to like barter to get an airplane tickets from this old couple. And she does that. She gives away like a pocket translator, $500 cash, earrings, a watch. These old couples take her.
Like her like her fucking, like, her Rolex, $500 in cash, which, like, back then, like, was like a, what, fucking $5,000.
That, like, would be worth Microsoft right now.
Like, does, like, her, she's like, you can take my wedding ring. And I'm just like, what she's giving away? And I'm just like, fucking, your husband isn't worth that much. Like, are you kidding? Your kid's going to be fine for 72 hours. What are you doing? What are you doing? You left off in the attic.
Oh, because, and spoiler alert, at the end, she gets there and, like, literally the whole family gets there. Spoiler alert.
The whole family of five, like
minutes later, and they took the flight she was supposed to wait and take the flight for. So once again, like, that pains me as like a true cheapskate where I'm like, oh man, like, look at all this money they waste.
And you're like, it truly pains me. It's like, he tipped him $2. It's like, come on. That's the company's job. You don't have to tip the employees. There's a tip. Don't you want to know? Like, you'd be one of those people. Like, I literally had one of those people, like, that was told to me at Hooters as one of my tables. And I wanted to be like, okay, cool. Well, there's no snow in Florida, but thanks for tipping me nothing. Can I be real quick?
Son of a bitch. Go quick. I'm trying quick.
I don't.
Okay, Annabelle's back. How was it? Number one, number two? What are we?
Ryan, people, girls do not do number two.
My Christmas wish came through. Anyways, we're back.
Are you still reeling from my I am still reeling from my reading.
Your read?
From my reeling.
Oh, so, no, that's like, I
really wanted to laugh, and then I'm like, I'm recording with Ryan, so that's not going to happen.
That
like, this is even worse.
By the way, if that's not even real to me. Like, I feel like that's like, you can like just chuck that out the window. You know, I give you permission to not listen to that lady at all.
But I'm telling you, who's the most accurate psychic is the pet psychic who I'm so excited for you to read with. I'm telling you, she is the most accurate psychic I've ever used in my life, and she won't tell you you're going to die.
It would be amazing if your pet psychic was telling your pets, of like, she's always going to be there. She's never going to leave you. She should. She's never going to leave. You're always going to have her. Does she had done your horses?
Yeah.
What did the horses say?
Yeah, she's done all my animals.
Yeah, but what did the horses say?
Oh, Loki and Drago, that we did their things together. And just so you know, she can do as many animals as you want. And it's in like,
half. Oh, I'm sure she can. She got like Drago's in weekly appointments because Drago's going to need a lot of work. We're going to have to see Drago weekly. He's working through a lot of issues right now.
I have to say, it was because like Loki was very much like Buddy the Elf, where like Loki was just like, I love doing everything and I give 110%. And I'm here to like help her transition, was like her
into the afterworld.
He just said transition, so I was like, I could go so many ways.
And with Drago, like, I have a huge boulder, like, on my back.
She's like, well, Drago, she's like, all right, let's switch over to Drago. And she's like, well, he's a much different energy. And Drago, I started with, he goes, I don't need a lot and I don't want to do a lot. And she was like, okay. And he's
maybe she was picking up on your energy.
And he goes, he's like, Loki was like, I like tell her I love her and that I'm so happy she's my, and I'm like, we went through this like whole reading. Like, I just kept being like, well, like, make sure you tell him how much I love him. And like over and over, I kept saying, I was like, so make sure you just, and I was like, so does he have like anything like to say? And she goes, he says he appreciates you. And I'm like, is there like anything else? And she's like, no, that's about it.
Like, well, what do you want? What do you want to hear from me?
Appreciate you. That's like something you write in like a boss writes in like a company card. Like, I appreciate you. Like, Mary,
dude,
like,
this is getting like,
I appreciate like, you.
Stage five clinger.
If Brooklyn said that about you, you would you would be on the floor.
I'd understand it. She's from a broken home. She, you know, I split from her mom, and like, you know, like, so I get it. I get it.
Like, he was like, I don't want to do what Loki does. I'd rather die. And I was like, okay, that's like dramatic. Like, and he's like,
wait, the horse said that You're making that part up.
He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to do what Loki does. He's like, I'd rather die. I don't want to do the same thing every day. Like Drago is like a very, he's like a grumpy old man. Like he is just.
But isn't Drago the one you do the competitions with?
Drago's who I fox hunt with, who was doing like, which he said he only liked, his favorite thing was to do fox hunting because he liked, quote, the wild abandonment of it.
Oh my God. It sounds like you actually did talk a lot with the pet psychic about it. I thought you just said a couple things and now the horse is saying more things.
No, I love that he said it. He liked the wild abandonment of it. And he also said, once I do something for the day, he was like me when he said, he's like, I don't care about doing something. I'll do something. He goes, but once I've done something for the day and you put me away, don't come get me again. I've done my one thing. I'm not doing anything else. And I was like, I get that.
Is that accurate? Is that accurate from how he actually behaves?
Yeah, like he really, like he's like a grumpy old man. Like when he's like, do not come get me for anything else. And I'm just like, if I already left the house one time today, I'm like, I'm not Dwayne Rock Johnson. I can't do a ton of things all at once. Are you kidding? No, I've already done something today.
I love how much you've given this pet psychic. This pet psychic is like thousands of dollars, like thousands and thousands of dollars.
She does have a vacation home because of me.
I mean, by the way, this other psychic really blew it with you. Like if she had said three nice things, she could have taken you for like thousands. She
traumatized me, Ryan. Cynthia was already wealthy before because she's a very successful businesswoman. But it's like, I will be with
by the way, Cynthia, forever. Your therapist, a very successful businesswoman, not an actual therapist, which is a fun fact.
Oh, she keeps asking what a podcast I should send of us together. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Send this one. I think this one is the one. I think all seven parts of this will be the one. So anyways, Kevin, in a very honest...
I'm not going to know, no matter what happens, I appreciate you.
I'm doing my one thing today. No, I got like eight things today. Kevin goes, I didn't mean it. If you come back, I'll never be a pain in the butt again. I promise. Good night. And he kisses a portrait of his family and puts it under his pillow. And then the next morning, Kevin's singing in the mirror and he puts on aftershave again, this old bit, and screams in agony. He didn't learn the first time.
Repeating the same bit. I didn't realize there was so much screaming.
But he's so cute that it's like, I think it's like entertaining. Like I would do that and it wouldn't be funny anymore, but it's still like cute.
This is like, this is a legitimate question. I'm not trying to be like, do you use aftershave? Like, what does aftershave do? Like, is that like a stuff people use now?
I don't think people, I mean, there is, it exists, but you know, no, I mean, like I just put on cologne or my natural body odor.
I was going to say, I do see like you like Matthew McConaughey, where I'm just like, nope, deodorant. Like,
all natural, baby. All right. We all know Matthew McConaughey doesn't shower. Like there's not even a doubt in my mind that he's like, but he said that in his book. He's like, all natural, baby. You know, I came from the earth. I'm going to go to the earth, baby. All right. You know, in between Time to Kill, I had to choose which movie I was going to do next. And I had a lot of scripts. So I took a bunch of ecstasy and went to the jungles of Argentina. And then and there I figured I would do Contact with Miss Judy Foster. All right.
He's the best advertisement for a toothbrush.
Green light. Remember when he used to be
skateboarding around with the toothbrush in his mouth? And I'm just like, oh, he made brushing your teeth look cool. It's not, but he made it look cool.
Dude, that's like one of my favorite audiobook experiences is Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. It's great. It's great. He takes himself so seriously. I love it.
What was the thing that surprised, like the most insane part that you read, that you listened to?
He was a foreign exchange student in college and he went to live with a family in Australia. And it was like a really weird family, but he was also super weird. And he had a lot of like run-ins with the dad. And like, he would just have like one salad a day and he got like really skinny and he would like enjoy like hour-long bathtub sessions. And like, it was just like turned him into a whole different person, but he was like that struggle like taught him so I shit you not. It's like really bizarre. It's like a bizarre, you know, it's bizarre. And then his career is bizarre because he kind of fell into acting in a way. Like he showed up at like this audition. Like it was just happenstance. It's just wild. And it kind of set him on this whole path. But like he would write these long meandering, like poetic letters to people. And like he really, it's very interesting. There's like a real artist in there, but it's like, also, you know, he'll probably be our president one day. Like, you know, they said, remember when they thought he was going to run?
I mean, at first I was just like, you know what? Aren't you getting enough from these Lincoln commercials? Isn't that enough for you? Like, do you need it?
when you're driving on the road.
Ryan, I would love for you to do, can you please reenact? I want that to be a Patreon, another Patreon level. Can we submit commercials for you to reenact?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Lincoln. There's nothing like driving at night going 75 in your Lincoln Suburban. Oh my God. Okay. So anyways, Kevin's back at the grocery store and he's asking the lady, hey, are these microwave dinners good? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, I'll give them a whirl. And then he holds up these action figures, the little toy army. He's like, for the kids. And then Kelly scans the orange juice, the checkout girl. And she's like, hold on, I got a coupon for that. And Kevin hands Kelly the coupon. And he goes, it was in the paper this morning. And, you know, she pays and she goes, are you all by yourself? And it's like, no, ma'am, I'm 8 years old. You think I'd be here alone? I don't think so. Where's your mom? My mom's in the car. Where's your father? He's at work. What about your brothers and sisters? I'm an only child. Where do you live? I can't tell you that. Why not? Because you're a stranger. And then we cut to Kevin walking home with the groceries.
They and I'm like, listen, lady, like I'm a fucking latchkey kid. Stop asking me. Just take my fucking money. Like,
finally, one person in this fucking movie seems to care and ask a little kid a question of where's your parents? Look at you. You're like, this lady could have cracked the case.
Who are you, a Trader Joe's employee? You don't need my whole life story.
It is weird, though. Like, why wouldn't have this made the local news? Like, you know, a young kid has been home alone. But I guess it's only been a day, right? Like, it's only like 2 days. Like, the entire time was like over a weekend. Like, right? Like, it wasn't that long.
It wasn't that long at all. It was like, what? It was
this took place over. This took place over 1 year. It would have been funny if this was like Groundhog's Day, like a Home Alone Groundhog's Day, where he wakes up and then like Kevin learns French and he's like at the end.
I've also never seen that movie, which is, I love Bill Murray.
Oh my God. Groundhog's Day is amazing. I would never recap that movie with you. It's too, and like the repeating scenes in that would be insane. Kevin goes down to the laundry and the furnace is making noise like the devil again. And Kevin goes, shut up. And the furnace stops making devil noises. Like, he faces his fear while he's doing laundry. And it was great. And
like my brave little toaster moment where he was just like, that was like a, you know, like a scary appliance.
But I think those are like, I used to do that when I was a kid. This was before Home Alone. I would run into the house with my parents, or I was a latchkey kid. I'd be like, I've got a big gun. You know, I would like announce myself when I came into my house, just in case any burglars were in there, they would know a kid was packing a gun, you know?
And then you would hear them laughing hysterically and they're like, oh no, this family is already sad enough. We can't take anything. Sorry,
but
kid.
I was also like, I did that thing where I would like pretended I was stabbed one time when my parents walked in. I like played dead and put ketchup over myself.
Yeah. I like that you say it like it's like a normal thing. Like,
you know that thing kids do where they pour themselves ketchup?
When you pretend you're dead and you put corn syrup, what is it, corn syrup and red, what is
the? No, it was ketchup. For me, it was ketchup. But by the way, that worked on my dad last Thanksgiving. I did the same thing where I acted like I go, oh, I'm going to eat a glass of wine. And then I came out and I had ketchup all over my hands. I was like, ah! And my dad's like, oh no, oh God.
I thought he was like, Becky, we always knew it would happen. All right. I did that one time with red paint. And then when I was young, you know, like 33, like super young. And like, then I realized it was like, oh, I almost killed RJ. Like where that would be like my fear of like, if I tried to like that would be it.
Yeah, so no,
I was, and it was like before my birthday party. And I was just like, oh my God, this is such a bad idea. Like, he could have almost ruined my birthday party, Ryan. We're like, two people showed up. It was a huge success. I was just like, oh no, like that could have gone really badly.
You did not kill RJ, so you're good.
No, not then.
Yeah,
no.
Not yet.
But I think that shows a lot of restraint of you using ketchup. Ketchup has never, like, I will eat ketchup like as a meal. Like it's not. Like,
oh, it's not even. It's not. Yeah, I love. You know, my feelings for ketchup go way back. So it's not even. It's always been there for me. Ketchup, and I use ketchup on everything. It's a powerful cough medicine as well. Anyways, the burglars, Marv and Harry, are back outside and they're trying to get in again. And Marv's like, and Marv goes, shit. And Kevin's like, oh no, they're here. And Kevin recognizes, you know, while he's doing the dishes, that they're coming around the side of the house. And then Kevin goes back to this damn VHS tape, this Angels with Filthy Souls. And he's like, get the hell out of here. And Snakes is like, all right, Johnny, but what about my money? AC said you had some dope for me. Is that a fact? How much did I owe you? AC said 10%. Too bad AC ain't in charge no more. What do you mean? And then Kevin takes a pot from the kitchen and puts it near the door opening. He's upstairs taking a bath. He'll call you when he gets out. Hey, I tell you what I'm going to give you, Snakes. And Kevin puts the firecrackers and a torch in the fire pot. And Marv goes, Snakes? And Johnny goes, I'm going to give you the count of 10 to get you ugly, yellow, no good, keyed off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. All right, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm going. 1, 2, 10. And the firecrackers go off. And he's like, keep the change, you filthy animal.
You know, it's a scarier Angel movie.
Angels in the Outfield?
No, Angels in America.
I love a good Angels in America joke. Only a good 1% of the audience will know what that is. Harry's like, what happened? And Mom's like, I don't know who, but somebody just got blown away. Somebody beat us to the job. They're in there. Two of them. There was arguing. One blew the other one away. And he's like, who? I don't know. I thought I recognized one of their voices. And I heard that name Snakes before. And Harry's like, Snakes, Snakes, Snakes. I don't know no Snakes. Snakes, let's get out of here. And Harry's like, hold it. Let's wait and see who it is. We work this neighborhood too. Supposing the cops finger us for a job and they start asking us questions about a murder in the area, wouldn't it be nice to have a face to go with the questions? That's a good idea, Harry. Of course it's a good idea. Snakes. He sounded like a snake. Anyways, so the agent, we're back in Paris, and Kate's like, God damn it, I need to get home. And the agent's like, I'm sorry. It's like a button, you know, that classic, airplane overwork day. It's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. We can't do anything for you.
She's not having any of her sob story.
Well, like, she's here in Scranton now. She's like, where the hell even am I? And he's like, Scranton, ma'am. And she's like, I am trying to get home to my 8-year-old son. And now that I'm this close, you're telling me it's hopeless. This is Christmas. This is a season of perpetual hope. And I don't care if I have to get on your runway and hitchhike. If it costs me everything I own, I have to sell my soul to the devil himself. I'm going to get home to my son. Do it. She goes, do it, do it, do anything, do it, do it. And Gus, played by John Candy, who is just one of the finest actor. I just would have loved to have seen what he would be doing today. Like, he would be playing funny grandpa role.
I love him so much. Like, I find him incredibly how can you not love?
He's just amazing. And amazing. He's like, excuse us. Can you excuse us for a sec, please? Can I see you for a second, please? Excuse us. I couldn't help but hear you got a little bit of a dilemma there. We got a crisis ourselves. Allow me to introduce myself, Gus Polinski. How are you? And he's like, Polka King of the Midwest? The Kenosha Kickers? That's okay. I thought you might have reckoned. Anyways, I had a few hits a few years ago. That's why, Polka, 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 no? Okay, Twin Legs Polka, Yamahuzi Polka, a.k.a. Kiss Me Polka, Polka Twist. Anyways,
She's like, these are songs? Yeah. Like, she's just like, and I guess that whole, all of their scenes were, like, improvised because they are, like, masters.
Yeah. Like, they were in Second City together. They did SCTV, which was like a...
God, those popular... Canadians are talented.
Yeah, I mean, truly.
They're just like infinitely better than us in everything.
She's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, they were songs. Some fairly big hits for us, in the early 70s. Yeah, we sold about 623 copies of that. And Kate goes, in Chicago? And he goes, no, Sheboygan. Yeah, very big in Sheboygan. They love us. She's like, I'm sorry, did you say you could help me. Anyway, I'm rambling on here. Our flight was canceled, so we got to drive. See the guy in the yellow jacket over there. He's going to rent us a nice big van, and we're going to drive to Milwaukee. Now, I heard you had some problems getting to Chicago to see your kid or something. And he's like, my son, we left. He goes, oh, geez, if you have to get to Chicago, we'll gladly drive you. It's on the way to Milwaukee. And so they offer to give her a ride if she doesn't mind going with some polka bums. And we cut back to McAllister's house, and they look.
I would have taken that. I would have taken like polka people, like no problem. Somebody was like, if you don't mind riding with, you know, a bunch of Christian rock singers, I'd been like, I'm good. Actually,
yeah,
I was like, he can wait.
You know what?
He can wait another week or so. I don't need it. Like, I'd rather take a trip with fucking if you don't mind, you know, riding with a bunch of juggalos than if I was riding with a fucking Christian rock group. But like, I'm good.
Yeah, no,
What group would you not ride with? Like what would be like a music that you were like, I can't do it. It was like, listen, we're just going to play the podcast Adderall and Compliments the whole time.
I think it would be like, that's a great question. Like,
it's the only type of questions I ask, Ryan.
It's a really hard hitting. Christian Rock,
Ronan Farrow, but more important,
I think pop country is like really like somebody in the pop country field would be hard for me potentially.
Like stadium country, like Keith Urban.
No, I love Garth Brooks, as you know, but I think like
what about if you were riding with Garth Brooks? What if Brooks?
that's the other Ryan Bailey. I think. What is it? Not Brooks and Dunn, but what are those other goofballs?
What's pop country?
Pop country is like where it's like power chords, and it's like not like Johnny Cash or, you know, like kind of more like, you know, alternative country. I'm trying to think what would be.
I was going to say, I'm like, Johnny Cash isn't a good.
Listen, I mean, to tell you the truth, I'd probably.
Fucking Ouija board. No.
I'd probably do a ride with anybody. Like I don't think there's anybody that I would.
Are you about like, oh, what is it? What's the one who does like save a horse ride? Was it Brooks and Dunn?
Well, I said Brooks and Dunn a second ago, but there's another. They're always like teams of like one has like really bleached hair and then one has like a curly cue mustache. Like they're always like weirdly dressed, and you're like, oh shit, like that's an actual thing that's insanely popular. And you're like, I have no concept of what this is.
What about Rascal Flatts?
That's what I'm thinking, Rascal Flatts. That's what I was thinking of. Rascal Flatts. You a rascal. Is one guy's name Rascal and the other Flatts? Oh, Flatts. Oh, stop it, Rascal.
I thought they were the ones who originally sang the Life is a Highway song. And then
they did the remake. Tom Cochran did the original.
I learned that. They weren't even the ones who sang like Life is, which I thought was like a horrible song in general, but I'm like, oh my God,
it's a great song.
Horrible song.
Tom Cochran wrote Life is a Highway, and then it was remade by,
Tom Cochran?
Yeah, this guy, Tom Cochran, in the.
Like with a C or Hawk?
Yes, C. It was like 90, what it came out, 1994. It was in the same year as like Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Like who is?
I'm a bitch.
I love that song. I bought that cassette.
Yeah. But it was in that same time frame for music. Tom Cochran, Cochrane. I'm almost positive, but that was like his big hit.
I asked, is he related to Johnny Cochran?
No, he's white. He was like a white British dude, I think.
Of course, that's why you're a fan of him. I should know.
Tom Cochran. Let me see. I think I'm remembering this correctly. Oh my God, he's a Canadian musician. He's almost 70 years old, and yeah, he did. Life is a highway. All night long, Anyways, Marv and Harry are trying to break in again, or like they're walking to see the kid, and they notice it's a kid. And Marv's like, oh, and Harry's like, look at this. I think we're getting scammed by a kindergartner. And Kevin sees Joe Pesci in the like little ornament that he's putting on the tree. And Kevin's like, Dad, can you come here and help me? And Harry's like, remember that kid we saw the other day? He lives here. And Marv's like, if the kid's here, the parents got to be here. And Harry shakes his head. He's like, he's home alone, which is also the title of the movie that we started 8 hours ago. And then we cut to Marv and Harry walking to the van. And he's like, Marv's like, what, you want to come back tonight? And Harry's like, uh-huh. Even with the kid here? Uh-huh. I don't think that's a good idea. Look, this house is the only reason why we started working this block in the first place. Ever since I laid eyes on that house, I wanted it. So let's take it one step at a time. And Kevin overhears all this. He's like, we'll unload the van. We'll get a bite to eat. We'll come back about 9 o'clock. And Kevin's like, 9 o'clock. And this way it's dark then. And Marv's like, yeah, kids get scared of the dark. You're afraid of the dark too, Marv. You know you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. Not. You are so. And Kevin goes, Mom, where are you? He's
afraid of the show, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because that was a genuinely scary show that I was terrified of.
It was scary, some of it, yeah.
Did you ever see the episode where she turns into a chameleon in the shower?
No.
And she dies as like a gecko, like a lizard. I'm not kidding. Like, it's like a twin thing, and she dies as like a not and not a cute one, like the Geico gecko. It was like a bad, horrifying. She was just like, listen, she was making that much money in commercial residuals. He's actually like such a cute, like that, like he's so cute. But no, that show is like genuinely, those are a bunch of scary Canadians. I look back now, it's like, if you hear them, like the their accents, it's like they're dripping maple syrup, but it's
you're doing there, boy.
Scary at the time.
We cut to Kate, Kevin's mom, in the back of the U-Haul truck with Gus and the Kenosha Kickers, and they have like a cute little conversation. That's where she is right now. And then
you hear their conversation. Will you tell them their conversation?
Well, they because we cut to Kevin walking outside. He meets an elf, and like Kevin goes to meet Santa Claus to ask for help and to ask, like, you know, to get his parents back. And they close up shop for the night. But then this is actually really cute. She brings the kid over to this Santa named Chris, and
he's getting into like his Chevy Impala or something. Yeah. Like, just gotten like a parking ticket. She was like, I think you can catch him. Like, before
Kevin's like, Santa, hold on. Can I talk to you for a minute? And he goes, make it quick. Santa's got a little get together he's late for. And Kevin's like, okay, I know you're not the real Santa Claus. And Chris is like, what makes you say that? Just out of curiosity. And Kevin goes, I'm old enough to know how it works, but I also know you work for him. I'd like you to give him a message, which I thought it was very smart writing, because it was like admitting that like kids seeing this movie are probably old enough to realize something's up, but still believe in Santa Claus a lot of the times. And like, there is a thing that parents like try to hold on to this lie so tightly that they're like, you know what? I remember my mom told me I helped Santa Claus. Like, that was the first, when I found out, she was like, well, Santa does exist, but we help him.
Did I ask Jeff, or was it you? Like, what age did you find out about him?
About Jeff? I don't know. Now is my favorite part of the show, where I get to talk about our sponsors, and we have two amazing ones today. So Bad It's Good this week is sponsored by Rocket Money. Now, Rocket Money is actually a product that I use, and it is really cool. They've been with us once before, and okay, so they used to be called a company called Truebill, and now they are known as Rocket Money. And this is great. So are you wasting money on subscriptions? 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. I've been trying to clear up space on my phone because I've been telling you I'm out of space, and I've been deleting all of these apps, and I didn't realize how many subscriptions I have to things that I had completely forgotten about. And that's where Rocket Money comes into play. So maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. So there's this great app that I am using now that helps me track all of my expenses. And because of it, I'm going to no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. And that's what I was just talking about. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Do you know how much money your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual total is closer to $200+. That's right. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. So there's this app that I'm using, once again, called Rocket Money, and it solves all of these problems for you. This app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. They do this, folks. They truly do double charge you sometimes. So to cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press, and I know this is going to sound hard for you guys, you just have to press cancel on the Rocket Money app. It takes care of the rest. So get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/sobad. Seriously, it could save you hundreds of dollars per year. That's rocketmoney.com/sobad. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now. One more time, say it with me, rocketmoney.com/sobad. Go check this out. I really do think it's an amazing product, and it does help the show when you go check these things out. Go try it. Why not? Like, it really does. It actually does work. So I am a total believer in this product. Also, as well as my next product, you guys know how much I geek out about this company. I have talked about this company on the show now a couple times, and I'm so excited that they're a sponsor, Masterclass. Masterclass is with us once again, and Masterclass is truly, I think, one of the best gifts you could give somebody, but also one of the best last-minute gifts you could give somebody. I'm actually getting this. I cannot stress what a special product Masterclass is. These are classes taught by world-renowned people in their field. You can learn from the world's best artists, icons, and leaders anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. So, certainly, you can learn from Kris Jenner. Yeah, the one and only Kris Jenner, who I talk about all the time. Kris Jenner teaches a class called On the Power of Personal Branding. And it is truly incredible, folks. I was talking about this when they showed it on The Kardashians this season. But it is really, I'm going to get into it in a second, all the different classes she has within her her masterclass. It is just truly awesome. But they also have over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors. You know, that thing you've always wanted to do, it's closer than you think. And Masterclass is truly here to help. My Masterclass experience, now I have about 10 classes in my queue right now. Everyone from Steve Martin to Judd Apatow to Werner Herzog to Bob Iger, the head of Disney. I mean, you really have a front row seat to the Duffer Brothers, who did Stranger Things. You have so many amazing people. You have Doris Kearns Goodwin, who is one of my favorite political historian writers out there. She does a class on Masterclass. And it's so Kris Jenner, let me tell you, I'm taking that one right now. And within her lesson, within her class, there are 12 classes within that Masterclass. And there are titles like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, How It Started, Consider Your Target Audience, Social Media, Owning It. Come on, Lisa Rinna, we love it. There's a class, Visual Storytelling, that Kris teaches. Monetize Your Brand. I mean, listen, this hits me in the pop culture feels completely. But also, this is somebody that really does know their stuff. I would give anything to learn from Kris Jenner. And I actually have a front row seat to do it through Masterclass. So I'm going to actually probably be doing a Patreon on Masterclass, because I think the Kris Jenner one especially is so cool to talk about, because there's so many little nuggets within. And remember, Chloe even shows up and she gets interviewed at the end on a huge 45-minute interview at the very end of this Masterclass as well. And you can stop and start at any time. Remember that. You don't have to do this all at once. You can stop and start. Like I said, there's so many lessons. And this thing, it's like, you're just given all of this knowledge and the freedom to poke around and learn from the greats. I mean, that really is one of the coolest gifts you could give someone. I really think this is the best gift. And like I said, last minute gift too, that you can sign up your friend, your family member, even yourself at a moment's notice. And you can start learning that day. Kris Jenner for me was a perfect place to start, because it kind of focused on a lot of the things that I'm trying to do. It's like she teaches about finding and defining your personal brand, like identify, target, and connect with your audience, which I'm trying to do on a daily basis. Monetizing your brand through social media, which I try to do with the Instagram. Create a brand that's honest and successful. Getting ahead with social media hacks. Delivering consistent content that viewers will love. And how to generate maximum likes, comments, and engagement. These are things that Kris Jenner thinks about. And you're, of course, obviously, right? They're the Kardashians. And I think it's awesome because you're learning from someone that is a proven successful entrepreneur. A lot of these things are anecdotal. She's telling stories about her career. And I, that's the thing that, like, as a pop culture historian, I love to hear that. I love to hear personal stories. This is the one I started with, and I think it's a perfect one. But like I said, I'm going next to Steve Martin's, and I'm so, you know, I'm a Steve Martin just geek. And let me just take you to his. This is how quick you can get to theirs. You just go to your library. I have it in here. You type in the old Steve Martin, and it pops right up. Steve Martin, of course, teaches comedy. And you, there's even a class guide you open up with supplemental materials for Steve Martin's comedy course. And there is 25 classes within his masterclass. I am geeking out just looking at all of these. He teaches story techniques, screenwriting case study, Roxanne. He uses the movie Roxanne, editing, writing case study, meteor shower, which I don't even know what that means, but it sounds exciting. Steve's comedic inspirations. Listen, this is just... I mean, this is, I was so excited when I got them as a sponsor because I just wanted to do all of these classes. So it was like my dream. So I'm hoping some of you guys feel the same way because you really, really should. I highly recommend you check it out. This holiday, give the perfect gift of an annual masterclass membership and get one free. Go to masterclass.com/sobad today. That's masterclass.com/sobad. Terms apply. I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
A couple years ago on Instagram, he was showing his pubes on Instagram like he tends to do.
No, it was Santa.
Probably like 12 or 11, you know, probably in that time frame. 11, probably. Maybe, probably 11, I bet. What about you?
Like what age are you? I don't know. What age are you like in third grade? Like, I remember I was like the last one out of like people in my like class or like friends to get it.
You
like where Nancy was like, this is embarrassing at this point. It's like, you're the last one who believes. So it's like, there's no Santa. And I'm like, I was like, it's like, I came out of that psychic. I was just like, my entire worldview like had changed.
Yeah. You're devastated. Yeah. No. Did you? Yeah. I mean, I kind of carried on pretty bravely. I was like, I still get the gifts. Like the gifts don't change. The gifts stay the same. You're telling me the gifts stay the same. And I don't have to believe, I don't have to sit on the dude's lap anymore. Like, you're like, like that sounds okay with me. And then I wasn't allowed to tell my sister.
You're like, I mean, old men keep asking me to still sit on their lap. And I'm just like, you know, okay. And Bill and Becky were fine with it, but
no, I've never, realized. I wish.
But they never brought me, Nancy, I guess, brought me to the mall, once, or I think, I guess like my aunt, who they no longer speak to, brought me to the mall once, and Nancy like was like so upset when she found out, but like they never brought me to like the mall to like do like that Santa thing ever.
Why?
Like, I guess like she was just like against it. Like I know that now it's like a thing where people are like post like all the pictures where like they're like kids are crying or like poor, but yeah, Nancy was like never like, that was like, I don't think I any pictures with Santa. Maybe if it had been like a more of a Father Christmas instead of like a Rudolph Santa, like I would have had pictures. But I had nothing. She put me, I was like, I have a bunch of pictures with Krampus though. She brought me to take pictures with him every year.
Okay. So Kevin's like, okay. Okay, so this is extremely important. Would you please tell him I'm Kevin McFalliser?
Sorry, Ryan's gonna kill me.
Don't. Are you? Do you have to pee again?
No, I just feel badly for you. Like, no, watch, no. Like watch Shane Ryan. I like you. Really could be a kindergartner.
I'm not. I really am not. Like Ryan, see, I could be a kindergartner. No, Ryan. Here's what I thought. I thought about this specifically yesterday. It's podcasting gold for like. I mean, like a lot of it's podcasting gold, but it's like. It's like working with a bucking bronco. Like, you know, it's like you just have to hold on. You can't control. You got to let it just ride the wave. Like, just ride the wave. Just see, because at a certain point, you're not going to be able to control it. So you just try to like enjoy it while it lasts, and you know, like it's riding the wave. So, and I'm still holding to this stupid notion that I'm going to like finish the movie, that I'm going to like finish.
You're still chasing that dragon.
I'm chasing the dragon that I'm going to finish a movie you've all seen before and know by heart. He says, I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard. Okay, this is extremely important. Would you please tell him instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Lenny, and Jeff, and my aunts and my cousins. And if he has time, my Uncle Frank, okay? And, you know, he gives the kid a couple Tic Tacs because he doesn't have any more candy canes on him. It's a cute scene, but also this is another opportunity for an adult to be like, where's your family, kid? Like, where, what's going on? Like, tell me the real, the real shit. Like, oh, about 9 p.m. There's a couple burglars coming
in my pocket.
Yeah. So then he goes in. Okay. We're going to super speed after this scene. This is the last scene I will fully read. And Kevin's in church, and it's like a really creepy, empty church where a full choir, there's like a full fucking choir of kids singing. Only like seven people.
This is a creepy church. I think
only seven people, seven or eight people in the audience. One of them is Kevin. And old man Marley goes, he's across and he like looks at Kevin, nods, and old man Marley comes closer to him. And he's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And Kevin has a confused look on his face, like, may I sit down? There's my granddaughter up there, the little redhead girl. She's about your age, you know what? And Kevin's like, no. You live next to me, don't you? And Kevin nods. Well, you can say hello when you see me. You don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of things going on around about me, but none of it's true, okay? And Kevin nods and he goes, you been a good boy this year? I think so. You got a tight little buttock? No, he goes, you swear to it? He goes, you swear to it?
He goes, you've been a good boy? Do you not want to be?
I can help you. Well, I like bad boys too.
Like, I know there's a lot of things going on about me that aren't true. I never said that about Jewish women. I promise.
I know this.
Stop those rumors.
I know this one bad boy, the bad boy of podcasting, little thick legs on a tiny little wiener. And
it's all taped up and to it.
Little kid tapes up his urethra. Old man Marley goes, you swear to being a good kid? And Kevin goes, no. And he goes, I had a feeling. Well, this is the place to be if you're feeling bad about yourself. And Kevin goes, it is? I think so.
Church can make you feel worse about yourself.
And Kevin goes, are you feeling bad about yourself? And old man Marley's like, no. And he goes, and Kevin's like, well, I've been kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year. I spread a lot of vaccine misinformation. And old man Marley's like, yeah. And Kevin's like, I'm kind of upset because I really like my family, even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that? He goes, I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing, especially with an older brother. Well, deep down, you'll always love them. But you can forget that you love them. You can hurt them, and they can hurt you.
And look, that's just JonBenet and her.
That's
brother.
Shut you up. Know, that's
things not, can go. Things can go very
in the blink of an eye, you can make one phone, and then you have to deposit $57,000 into a bank account. That's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason? You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now? And Kevin goes, sure. I came to hear my granddaughter sing, and I can't come hear her tonight. And Kevin's like, you have plans? No, I'm not welcome. At church? No, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son. How old is he? He's grown up. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. And we haven't spoken to each other since. Well, if you miss him, why don't you call him? Why don't you shut up, little kid?
Well, he told me he was a homosexual, and I'm not gonna stand for that.
I know that flim-flamsy homosexual stuff. I'm not into it. He goes, I'm afraid if I call my son, he won't talk to me. And he goes, how do you know? I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't. No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid? Well, you can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid. And Kevin goes, that's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark. There's weird stuff down there, and it smells. That's like that sort
smells
of thing.
Smells like you a little bit, actually. Yeah. But don't worry. I'll take it down to your basement. I'd like to see it.
Yes, sometimes we all have basements within ourselves. So Kevin goes, it's bothered me for years. Basements are like that. Well, I made myself go down and do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worried about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal. What's your point? My point is you should call your son. What if he won't talk to me? At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it. Then you won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was. I'd talk to my dad, especially around the holidays. Well, I don't know. Well, just give it a shot for your granddaughter anyway. I'm sure she misses you and the presents. Well, I'll send her a check. Well, I wish my grandparents did that. They always send me clothes. Last year, I got a sweater with a big bird knitted on it. Oh, that's nice. Not for a guy in the second grade. You can get
beat up or something like that. He goes, don't worry. I'd never send you clothes. I'd never tell you to put clothes on. Any dad, tell you the opposite. You don't have to put on clothes. We can go down to your basement.
Cops, you have the address. You have Annabelle's address. Old man Marley, he goes, yeah, I have a friend who got nailed because there was a rumor he wore dinosaur PJs. And old man Marley's like, you better run along where you belong. Think about what I said, all right? And Kevin goes, okay.
You better show me your PJs so I can make sure they're not, don't have dinosaurs.
Old man Marley goes, it was nice talking to you. And Kevin's like, nice talking to you. And Kevin goes, what about you? And he goes, me? Yeah, you and your son. Well, we'll see what happens. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And then he goes to the house. He goes, this is my house. I have to defend it. And then all of a sudden, he's worked on this like battle plan, this drawing that like is very involved. Like
there's
it's like all
colors
the
and it looks
yeah,
like, it's like the Mean Girls, like the thing that Janice Ian draws of the cafeteria of like, it's like all the different things, but there's different rooms. He has an evacuation. He has it's like a safe house. It's like, he's ready for the purge.
This kid is really artistically like, so we get to this whole like sequence where like, you know, we see a tarantula crawling. Kevin grabs a soldering iron off the grill. Kevin spills water on the stairs outside to make him ice. He's putting little toy cars around. He's putting tar in the basement steps. He's like tapping in a nail. He has a rope attached to him as he climbs a ladder to his treehouse. There's all this like shit happening. Placing
ornaments.
Did you
know
everywhere.
Anyone with a treehouse? I feel like that is. I feel like that's a movie.
Yeah, the Mulcahy's next door. The Mulcahy's next door, and
the one that you were in love with.
No, that was Rachel Beaker. Mary Mulcahy, the Mulcahy's next door, Patrick Mulcahy.
Oh, that's the mom who like cut everyone else out and was like, my daughter's going instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They had a treehouse. And I remember when they were building it, that was like what I said, like kids with treehouses. Like, I remember thinking, oh my God, I heard the treehouse. And they're like, I was like, oh my God, we can make it like three or four rooms. We put it underground. Like in your head, you don't understand.
You
You're
were
like,
thinking of like Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh like, yeah. I was there. I was like, okay. I was like, how much does a couch cost? Like, will we have cable in there? Like I was thinking of like a separate facility and I would daydream about this. Like, and then like, this is even before I'm alone. I would be like, how can I get a rope from my house to the treehouse where I could just go directly in there? And it just turned out to be like, you know, four pieces of wood. Like, I mean, it was like so basic, you know, but it was cool, but like, it wasn't what I had envisioned, you know?
Yeah. It doesn't sound up to code. It doesn't sound like the Mulcahy's, you know, got the approval from it.
Someplace where people couldn't hear you scream. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there was so much rope and duct tape and.
So he does all this stuff. Kevin takes out his macaroni cheese out of the microwave, eats like a nice Christmas meal. A lot of dairy. There's like a glass of milk, the mac and cheese. And then Harry.
That's a hard milk push. Do you remember like the Got Milk ads? like with the Olsen twins and stuff. And I'm like, it was just such a gross. It's so.
I think the milk industry took a huge hit, especially with the invention of almond milk and all the other, the oat milk. I think it really, California doesn't even have real milk anymore, I think.
Good. It should be outlawed. I'm sure that Aaron, what's his name, who's Denise's husband, is against. It's like, oh, the big, don't talk about Big Dairy.
Big Dairy's following me right now.
It looked fucking disgusting. Who had milk with dairy? Well, besides your parents on their first, that's insane. My parents met at her sister's funeral, and even I think your thing is weirder than that your parents
got married at Halloween.
No. Oh my God, your parents got married on Halloween. I'm so jealous. Yeah.
They only did that because it was cheaper. It wasn't because they're like Halloween freaks or anything like that. Like,
oh my God, no, that is my dream to be married on Halloween. No, I think my parents met at her sister's funeral, and I think your parents milk.
Yeah, we talked about that in one of the first of these, I think. That
your parents about it on the first date.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
That's insane to me.
It was a different time. It was, you know, right before Vietnam. It was interesting. People, kids would go on dates, drink milk. That would be awesome if you pulled that, a guy pulled that on a date, like ordered a glass and be like, oh, she'll have a champagne and I'll have a glass of milk.
I'd be like, I'm sorry, I have to use the restroom.
Would it reverse be like, oh, this guy's an independent thinker. This guy's really interesting.
I like to say that I'd be like, oh, no way. But considering the people I've dated, I'd just be like, I like to think that I have like any standard. We would be like, no, not cool. Like if someone dated an indoor homeless man, I don't know why I think I'm above milk. Yeah. I'd been like, oh, he can afford milk. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, this is the people you date this time of year. They're mall Santas, so you'd be alone most of the time.
They're mall Santas, or they're the old men in church who can't be children.
Well, that's very interesting about older ladies. Yeah. Podcasting. You say that's very interesting. May I see one of your tatas? Anyways. Kevin like finishes his meal and he's like, he goes and gets Buzz's BB gun and he's like, don't get scared now. And Marv and Harry enter the back. They're trying to enter the back door. Harry knocks on the door. He's like, Merry Christmas, little fella. We know that you're in there and that you're all alone. And Marv's like, yeah, come on, kid. Open up. It's Santa Claus and his elf. We're not going to hurt you. No, no. We got some nice presents for you. Be a good little fella now and open the door. And they're like, hee, hee, hee. And Kevin, we see the gun like stick out of the dog door. And
where is this dog? Probably because Kevin killed it.
Kevin ate the dog on first. By the way, the dog. Wait, that is a good. Where is the dog?
Where is the dog?
So Kevin shoots Marv in the forehead because, like, well, it's a very slow.
It's like a Kyle Rittenhouse, like glory hole. Like that's how you can tell this movie was not made today because it would be like a real AK-47. But it's like through the dog door, and you see just this like gun slowly like out through this glory
it's
hole,
so
and then
funny.
It slowly goes to his like Joe Pesci scrot. And
by the way. The Ryan Bailey version of this movie, you'd see a boner stick out and get bigger. The porn star Ryan Bailey, not me, Ryan Bailey.
I was going to say, how would yours get through this fucking dog door, Ryan?
It's called Boner Alone. Yeah. And anyways, he BB shoots him, but now I'm thinking it's funnier if it was like an actual gun and the two burglars just die. Like it's boom, boom. And Marv's like, this little jerk is armed. And Harry's like, that's it. I'm going in the front. You go down the basement. And Marv slips and falls down the stair. Like he's iced these stairs. So they're both like comedy ensues. They're trying to get in there. It's hysterical. And then he also heated up the doorknob on the front door. So when Marv does that, get there, he puts his hand on the doorknob and he brands himself with a big M for McAllister on his hand, which comes into play in Home Alone 2. Lost in New York.
Oh my God. He was like, he pulled like a Pete Davidson. Now he's permanently branded. Like
and he goes, and Marv's hand says, my girl's a lawyer. So Kevin goes, yes. Kevin's all excited that he's harming these two older men. And Marv,
he's getting on his little boner, his phone alone.
Marv gets into the basement finally, takes off his shoes and socks because he's going up the stairs and he's painted tar on it. And then he's getting up like one at a time, like losing his shoes, his socks, all that. And then Marv steps on a nail and falls on the basement floor. So funny. Oh, man. It's like really, it's like really physical comedy.
It is visceral. Like when you see it, you're like, oh, like, yeah.
But it continues because then like Harry gets in and he opens the door and like he's like, you're dead, kid. And Harry pulls a string. Harry opens the door, which pulls a string and turns on a blowtorch on top of the cupboard and lights Harry's head on fire. And Harry screams in agony, which, by the way, I will say this. There is an article that I just read the other day where Joe Pesci said he got permanent damage from the stunts with the hair in Home Alone.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Joe Pesci does not look like somebody who would be fun on set. Like
This was December 1st, 2022. Joe Pesci says he got serious burns to his head in iconic Home Alone scene. This just came out. It says Home Alone, but this is Home Alone 2 because they do the same burn prank in Home Alone 2.
Okay.
Joe Pesci, who portrayed criminal Harry Lime, is now 79 years old and the movie turns 30 this year. In the second installment, spoiler alert, he, gets burned with a blowtorch and he has to put his head in the toilet. But Kevin has put flammable liquid in the toilet. So he puts his head in the toilet and it even lights up bigger on fire and sets his beanie on fire. And in the second film, his head's again and he goes in. Joe Pesci said, in addition to the expected bumps and bruises and general pains that you would associate with a particular type of physical humor, I did sustain serious burns to the top of my head during the scene where Harry's hat is set on fire. I was fortunate enough to have professional stuntmen do the real heavy stunts. Pesci also said that he did everything he could to make sure that the on-screen tumultuous relationship between Harry, Marv, and Kevin was believable. I intentionally limited my interactions with Macaulay Culkin to preserve the dynamic between his character Kevin and my character Harry. People saying he didn't want to come across on the screen that we are in any way friendly. I wanted to maintain the integrity of the adversarial relationship, Joe Pesci said. That's way too dark because it still comes off jokey. Like it doesn't come like I'm never worried for Kevin, you know?
Yeah, it's not home invasion. Like he doesn't, I feel like they picked like the perfect looking guys.
Like, who's an actor with no sense? Who's an actor with no sense of humor?
Like that doesn't air. Somebody who I would not take as like he was kidding would be like, if Paul Giamatti was breaking into my house, I'd be like, oh no, I'm dead. Like he looks like somebody who. He looks terrible. Like, who would you pick as somebody who's like, this is not a person who is fun at all?
Trying to think who's not. I mean, I know there should be an obvious answer here, but I'm trying to think who would not be like, oh, this isn't funny at all. This is just really creepy. Like, who's back in the day, like, who is that dad on Big Love? Not Bill Paxton, but the old creepy Mormon guy. He's like a very famous.
Oh, I thought it was Bill Paxton on.
No, he is the main dad who was married to all the ladies. But remember the father, the grandfather, the father.
Oh,
of the
I didn't watch it. Oh. I was gonna say Kevin Sorry. Spacey, Forgot but who that I was like more Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey breaking into a
kid's house. Yeah, Kevin Spacey would be. He would actually probably be good at this, but because he was in that movie The Ref, which you probably haven't seen, that he was like pretty funny as a burglar. I don't know. Who is just no sense of like Tom Cruise couldn't play this. Like Tom Cruise would go serious. Tom Cruise doesn't.
Well,
seem
also
to have, like,
he's
a real...
the size of fucking Macaulay Culkin. I don't know if it would.
Who would be this? Like, would it be like Robert De Niro? Would it be?
Well, the thing is, did you see that Robert De Niro was almost cat? Like he was one of the people who was like up for this role.
Oh, and really?
Turned it down. If this came out now, Robert De Niro will take fucking any job. Like,
Robert De Niro wound up in the Rocky and Bullwinkle film. like years ago.
That fucking movie with Zac Efron and like that, like I would not be surprised if it's, here's a 2023 prediction. I would not be surprised if we see him as Colonel Sanders in a KFC commercial. I do not doubt that. Like he will take any job right.
Wait, you know who would actually probably play one of these guys in an update? Michael Rapaport. But it would like, he has like that kind of like Joe Pesci, like, you little kid, where you don't
like
really
a mix between,
you're not like really ever scared. You're not scared of Michael Rapaport ever. Like you're just annoyed.
I'm scared of his opinions on Erica Jane, how he's such a stand for her. I'm scared of that.
Anyways, these guys are getting like just thrashed by Macaulay Culkin. What's going on? Did a spirit enter your room? What's going on? You having a stroke?
No, there was just like a really loud.
So, okay. If you could get murdered during this, this would be so this would be good for the guys. Part four is where it gets really good. Annabelle gets murdered in.
There was like a very loud noise, like a. Okay.
The psychic would have warned.
I was going to say, I'm just like, listen, it could be like, was it on Days of Our Life? Who there was like Luke and Laura, where originally he was like her rapist and then they got married. Like
maybe your parents are there.
Well, if they're moving, then there's a really big problem. Then I really have to go take care of something.
Anyways, Kevin keeps taunting these burglars like, oh, no, I'm really scared. And Harry's like, it's too late for you, kid. We're in the house. We're going to get you. And Kevin's like, OK, come and get me. And Kevin flips a notch of the fan and runs away. And Harry goes, why you? And he walks into a glued plastic wrap. And then he goes, now you're dead. And then the string turns on the fan that blows feathers into his face. We cut to Marv entering the house from the window. He steps on the ornaments on the floor. Marv screams in agony. And Marv and Harry finally find each other. And Harry's like, why the hell did you take your shoes off? And Marv's like, why the hell are you dressed like a chicken? And Kevin's like, I'm up here, you morons. Come and get me. Harry and Marv slip on a bunch of toy cars at the front of the stairs. You guys give up or are you thirsty for more? And then
he's barefoot. Like he's fucking David Byrne from the Talking Heads. He's just like walking around.
What? Wait, what a reference. Wow. I love that. Like you've not seen most like movies, but you're like stop making sense with David Byrne from the Talking Heads, 1978, directed by Jonathan Demme. He just really stood with me. As the days go by,
I was gonna say, just as I know that song,
the same as it ever was, same as it ever was. Kevin, Kevin's like, heads up, and he throws
my beautiful house. This is
not where I left my kid. This is not my beautiful wife who's trying to get home in a U-Haul van. Marv goes, these cans of paint get smacked into their face. And Kevin's like, yes. And Marv's like, he's only a kid, Harry. We can take him. Ah, shut up, will you? And Harry goes, what is it? And Marv's like, you're missing some teeth. And Harry's like, where? It's my gold tooth. My gold tooth. I'll kill him. And you bomb me with one more can, kid. I'll snap off your cojones and boil them in motor oil. And this is when Kevin, which what he should have done the whole time, dials 911. 911, and it's like, hello, my house is being robbed. My address is 656 Lincoln Boulevard. My name is Murphy, and we cut
to the
hallway.
Why did you have to change your voice for 911?
I don't know. Like, well, they send the cop to the other house. He sends the cop across the street.
Oh, I did not get that.
Yeah, the Murphy's house.
Because he enjoys torturing these men so fucking much that he doesn't want to have to deal with the body bags. He's like, I'll send them. Because they'll be dead by the time cops get here. Because I'm sure they're busy, you know, chasing another kid with a toothbrush. So I got some time. But like, he's a little fucking sociopath. Where is the dog? Why is he doing all these elaborate traps? Why does he have a section? There's so many questions.
A dog, instead of the paint cans, a dog's carcass hits them in the head. Anyway, so he's going up to the attic after the phone call. And Marv's like, I got you, kid. And he grabs him as the kid's trying to get up the stairs. And he's like, give me a hand. I got him. And Kevin's trying to reach the tarantula that he sees on the stairs. And Kevin finally like gets the tarantula, places the tarantula on Marv's face. Marv screams in fear as Kevin runs up the stairs. And And Harry's,
I guess,
like,
they used a real tarantula for one scene, and it's like a fake scream because he couldn't really scream because of the tarantula scaring him. Like,
wait, is that true? That was wondering, because Daniel Stern, who plays Marv, he gets the tarantula on his face, and there's a close up of the tarantula on his face, and he does the biggest scream. Like, it is the funniest thing. And I was like, how did they have a trained tarantula that did not get scared?
That's what I had said online. So, you know, if it's online, it has to be true. I also read it on, you know, Parler. So
On Truth Social, it says.
So it's for sure. So that's what I saw online, but I could definitely be very wrong, as I am with a lot of things.
That would make sense, but it looked so real. Harry's like, never mind that. How do you like it, you jerk? Get that kid. And Kevin is gliding down a rope all the way to the treehouse that he set up across from this place.
Yeah, he Mulans it, like, at the, you know, celebration for the emperor. And he, like, pulls a Mulan, and they fucking zip line. Like,
Kevin's like, down here, you big horse's ass. Come and get me before I call the police. And Marv's like, let's get him. And Harry's like, wait, just what he wants us to do. Go back downstairs, though, his funhouse. So we can get all tore up. He's going to call the cops. He's not calling the cops from a treehouse. Come on. And they go out the window, and Harry's like, Marv's like, I'm not going out the window. Why, are you scared, Marv? Are you afraid? Come on, get out here. Get out. And they're crawling across the wind, like the rope, the wire rope thing. And Kevin's like, hey, guys, check this out. And he has clippers to clip the rope. And Harry's like, go back. And he cuts the burglars fall on each other. It's so funny. And the little kid, Macaulay Culkin, runs away to the next house. And he's like, hey, I'm calling the cops. And Kevin enters the Murphy house. He enters via the basement door, which is flooded because they're the wet bandits. Kevin runs up the stairs, opens the door right as Marv and Harry are standing right in front of him. And he's like, hiya, pal. We outsmarted you this time. Get over here. And Marv and Harry hang him by the sweater on the back of the coat hanger on the door. And Marv's like, what are you going to do to him, Harry? We'll do exactly what he did to us. We're going to burn his head with a blowtorch, and we're going to smash his face with an iron. And then all of a sudden, enter old man Marley.
Well, no, you miss my favorite line where he goes, I'm going to bite all your fingers off. If I was part of, I'd be like, whoa, what?
And old man Marley is completely.
I didn't know we were eating his fingers.
Man Marley is turned on completely.
Yeah, because he was just like, I was about to hit. He's like, now I'm interested.
Old man Marley smashes them with his shovel. And, Hair, you know, it's great. Old man Marley takes Kevin off the coat hanger, is like, let's go, let's get you home. And all of a sudden, the police cars arrive at the scene, and Kevin's like, wow, this is great. And officer, and
old man Marley was like, I gotta get out of here. My son called the cops on me. Don't say it, Tommy.
Officer number one's like, nice move, guys. Always leave the water running. Now we know each and every house that you've hit. Harry looks at Marv, shaking his head. And the officer's like, hey, you know, we've been looking for you guys for a long time. Marv's like, yeah, well, remember, we're the wet bandits. Wet bandits. That's W-E-T. And Harry's like, shut up, Marv, shut up. And officer one's like, hey, come on. Hands off the head, pal. And they're getting put in the light. Cut to Kevin putting milk and cookie out for Santa. Anyways, the next scene is with Kate and Gus in the back of the U-Haul van. And it's basically like, she's like, I'm a bad parent. And he's like, no, you're not. We're on the road 49 weeks a year. We hardly see our families. You know, Joe over there, gosh, you know, he forgets his kids' names half the time. Ziggy over here, he never even met his kid. Eddie, let's just hope none of them write a book about him. And tell me you've gone on vacation and left your child home, she says. No, but I did leave one at a funeral parlor once. Yeah, it was terrible, too. It was all distraught and everything. The wife and I, we left that little tyke there in the funeral parlor all day. You know, we went back at night when we came to our senses, and there he was. Apparently, he was there all day with a corpse. Now he's okay. You know, after 6-7 weeks, you know, he came around and started talking again. But he's okay. He's okay. They get over it. Kids are resilient like that, which is just hysterical. By the way, you can't make jokes on top of a hysterical monologue.
That was my favorite line in the entire movie. John, he's just perfection.
Yeah, he's just great. It's like, I can't even explain why. Like, you got to watch just that scene, because I would never, you know, it's like that. You can't, it's like, you know, it's all like improv and like the 6-7 weeks. He's like, no, he's fine. You know, 6-7 weeks he came around.
Like, you know, he was just so good. So adorable. He was my favorite part of Splash too. Like him and Eugene Levy were like the best parts of Splash. But like, oh, John Candy, oh.
So we wake up the next morning. It's been a snowy Christmas. It snowed all night. It's like a winter wonderland. Kevin wakes up excited, thinking his parents are going to be home, that Santa delivered his family. And Kevin wakes up and goes, Mom, Mom, Mom. And it's like, and then Kate comes in and we're like, Kevin, Kevin. And all of a sudden, like, you know, they see each other and Kate's like, Merry Christmas, sweetheart. Oh, Kevin, I'm so sorry. And Kevin's like, where's everybody else? Oh, baby.
There's a delay. Like you have to, like, he makes her like, wait, he like almost negs her a little bit. He like turns around. He gives her like,
he's mad. He's mad a little bit.
A few beats.
Yeah. He's mad.
Like her face. She's like, so excited. And then like, it cuts back to her face. And she's like, this point of like, oh, what if he's not going to
run at
me? Like she, yeah, it's anticipate. It's like, you know, the end of like Homeward Bound. Like there, it's, you know, he's shadowy. He doesn't show up right away for her.
Yeah. So, but he does. And then eventually, right then and there, 2 minutes later, the whole family comes home, and everybody's like, "Oh, we decided we all want to spend Christmas together as a family." And it's like, dude, it's just wild that the family, like, that really pissed me off. Like.
She gets all of them on one flight, the 12 of them back. And she just gave away all that fucking money and her jewelry.
Yeah. Like, it's like, wow. Like that's, it really stuck with me, that part of it. Cause I was like, that's such a waste of a lot of resources, you know, like so much stuff. And Buzz is like, wow, congrats, Kevin. You, it's pretty cool that you didn't burn the place down. And Kevin's like, thanks, Buzz. And Peter's like, oh, we took the morning flight. Remember the one you didn't want to wait for, which just goes to that there's a little bit of like making fun of women in that line. I think that didn't need to be there. The one you like, women that you weren't patient for.
Women be demanding and shopping. Am I right? Am I right, guys?
Women be shopping. anyways, Peter's like, Merry Christmas. And Kate's like, Merry Christmas. Someone has to find an open store. We don't even have milk here. And Kevin goes, I went shopping yesterday.
Again, I got some fucking milk. Why are
I got, I drank all the milk, but I got eggs and fabric softener. And Kate's like, what? And Peter's like, no kidding. What a funny guy. And I think that line, what a funny guy, is like, oh, we were raising a serial killer. Like, what a funny little guy that I never want to mess with. What else did you do while we were away? And Kevin goes, just hung around. And everybody laughs.
He's like, just hung the dog. I mean, around.
Where's Sparky? Yeah. Buzz goes, he went shopping. He doesn't even know how to tie his shoe. He's going shopping. Peter's like, honey, what's this? And he picks up the gold tooth that fell out. And we cut to Kevin looking out of the drapes to find old man Marley united with his family. He hugs he shakes his hand of his son, hugs the wife, hugs the little girl. And it's really old man Marley looks at Kevin and Kevin looks at old man Marley. And then all of a sudden we hear Buzz's voice. Kevin, what did you do to my room? And Kevin gasps and runs away. Oh my God, we did it.
We did it.
Oh my God. They said it couldn't be done. Oh my God.
How was it? 8 hours? How many?
I think this 5.5.
Oh, this is a blip. People are going to be like, wow, she said they put nothing into it.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm getting emotional.
People go through, like people do marathons. You should check, what's Carol Radswell's time for the New York Marathon? Yeah. I think we took longer.
Oh, I feel like what Kate must have felt like seeing little Macaulay Culkin at home. Oh, thank God. Oh, I'll never watch this movie again, ever. By the way, this movie is only associated with bad memories. oh, you guys, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
So if it is, funny.
I hope you enjoyed.
Old man Marley hugged his son and his wife, and he's like, ah, the conversion camp I sent to him really worked. Now you're here with what should be a wife and son.
Ooh. Oh, you guys, I'm thrilled. We've done this. This was a quick one. This was a nice little thing to get you. We will be back on Monday with a pop culture roundup with a very special guest. Annabelle, where can people support you besides any kind of mental facility? And they can,
I was gonna say, I don't know. I don't know if I'll have access to phones where I'll be. you can go like pictures of Drago in his outfit on my Instagram at Annabelle DeSisto. And hopefully I can convince Ryan to let me post 20 minutes of this on my podcast. And so then it will shorten yours down to seven hours.
No, this is all of next week's shows. So this is, this is what we do it for. Wow.
And you can go listen to Ryan on previous episodes of Adderall and Compliments.
Yeah, Adderall and Compliments. Go subscribe if you haven't already. For real, there's so many amazing guests on there. Are all the episodes still up?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if from the beginning, like you could go to the very first episode of Adderall and Compliments. You
can go to any of the ones with Ryan and be, equally disappointed there. The ones with Ryan are obviously like the best.
You have tons of great guests.
I'm not saying that in a certain, I realize anything coming out of my face and my voice, it sounds sarcastic. No, but Ryan's, episodes are definitely some of my like top favorites. And that's where we started our movie thing. That's where I started for.
What was the first movie?
Twilight.
Oh God. Yeah. Those were good ones. Those were kind of by comparison, very quick, quick 3 hour little dances.
Commercials compared to this.
By the way, this is the only podcast where you're like, you know what? The commercials, when are the commercials coming? Are there going to be commercials? Annabelle, I love you. I'm going to rest up my voice now.
I'm so sorry.
I will be talking to you never again, but hopefully we will hear Annabelle very soon. And if not, Adderall and Compliments is the podcast. Pray for her. Pray with everything you got, you guys. Pray with everything that you got for her this holiday season. And we love you, but also really go check out Adderall and Compliments. And we will actually talk to her very soon. So Annabelle, good night. Good night, Annabelle.
Good night and good luck, Ryan.
Yeah, good night. Ryan, put a gunshot in here right here. Put a gunshot.
Betches.